advocates for beverage container return schemes, one currently being considered by the government, say opposition from the glass industry could derail the project at the 11th hour. A container return scheme incentivises people to recycle by including a deposit into the price of the beverage, which is refunded when consumers return empty containers at recycling stations. But the Zero Waste Network says opposition from the Glass Packaging Forum, which would like to see glass excluded from the scheme, would undermine the project. It says a container return scheme must include all container types, and excluding some materials increases the cost and makes the scheme less effective overall. An estimated 2.3 billion glass, plastic, aluminium, paperboard and other single-use drink containers are consumed each year in New Zealand. Much of it ends up in landfills or littering streets, streams and beaches, or stockpiled in recycling waste centres. The government is currently investigating a container return scheme as a way of addressing the issue. Well, with us is Zero Waste Network's spokesman Marty Hoffat and the Executive Director of the Brewers Association, Dylan Firth. Good morning, gentlemen. Morning, both.
Good morning.
Go to Catherine. Good morning.
Marty, could you explain the scheme, how it would work in practice, where you'd go? Will there be lots of these sites, lots of small ones or a few big ones? How would you get your money back? Just walk me through it.
Sure. There's plenty overseas, Catherine. There's 50 in different states, countries and provinces, and a lot of them have been going for four decades. South Australia started theirs in 1977. So basically, I'll walk you through it. You go in to buy your beverage. So we're talking about anything in glass, plastic, aluminium cans, Tetra Pak, anything that's a beverage that you can drink, there would be a deposit on it. Now, we don't know what the figure would be here, whether it's 10 cents or 20 cents or what it would be. But let's use 10 as an example. If you bought a dozen beer, you go to the till, the beer is $19.99, and they say that'll be $19.99 plus $1.20. So you pay 10 cents for each of those bottles. You take the bottles home, you drink them, you put them in your garage in a box with other bottles. And when you're going past a bottle return depot or a reverse vending machine, you could bring those bottles back and you get your full 10 cents back from the person at the bottle return depot or from the reverse vending machine.
Marty, some of us, unfortunately, are old enough to remember when we could do this as kids. What I'm trying to get clear, though, is who provides the depot? It's real estate. Real estate in cities is very expensive. The price of a car park is eye-watering. So who provides the real estate or the machines? And is that a reason there is some balking by some at this? Are they council-owned? Are they industry-owned? How does that bit work?
Most of those bottle return depots or reverse vending machines are owned by entrepreneurs. So for an example, In Alberta, Canada, which has the same population roughly as New Zealand, about 4.5 million people, there are approximately 230 bottle return depots and they're independently owned. So the real estate, the building, is not paid for by ratepayers, it's not paid for by taxpayers, and it's not paid for by public money. And it's unlikely that the beverage industry want to operate bottle return depots. They're into making and selling beverages, not into recycling.
So how do you plug that gap and bring that third party into the system at the point you introduce the fee?
There'll be heaps of people waiting in line, Catherine, to open up bottle return depots. We already have a network of community recycling centers around the country. Believe me, they'll get a handling fee for every single beverage container that gets returned to them. So it is a system that works and pays the bills. Plus they can add on other things, Catherine. They can add on electronic waste recycling. They can recycle the cardboard. So there's a whole bunch of add-ons at a bottle return depot.
Providing it is financially viable, and again, I come back to the real estate, unfortunately, determining everything at the moment, it seems. You are confident that it's financially viable and that these third parties would appear. Okay.
Financially viable in Sydney, it's financially viable in Auckland.
Okay. So tell me about the issue with the glass industry, why it's essential that all are involved. Is it precisely because of that? If you weren't having all packaging, you would perhaps have less viability.
Totally. So if you look at glass, why they want to be out, they've externalized the costs of the collection of glass to ratepayers, councils, taxpayers, for over 25 years. We've had two failed packaging accords, one in 1996, one in 2004, where they said, we can get the rates up to here, we can get the rates up to here, and they never happened. For the last 14 years, we've had the Glass Packaging Forum essentially developed as a mechanism to fight regulation, to fight container return schemes. If they wanted the highest return rate and the cleanest product, container return schemes are the only way to get it.
Can you explain something that confuses me? I sort of understand it, but not completely. If I buy Coca-Cola, I can buy it in a bottle, I can buy it in an aluminium can, and I can buy it in a plastic bottle. Now, so then we have the Glass Packaging Forum. Is it possible that one producer might be a member of one packaging forum and agreeing to this, and a member of another packaging forum and not agreeing to this?
I would suspect, Catherine, that there are plenty of glass producers that don't agree with this position. That's my understanding. So not every single beverage company is in agreement with what the Glass Packaging Forum is proposing. And put it this way, if glass wasn't in, it would be a complete dog of a system. It accounts for 70% of the beverage containers by weight. And that's how we measure things, by weight. So if you've got 70% of the packaging not in the scheme, it's a dog.
Okay. We have asked several times, I think, to talk to the Glass Packaging Forum and have been unsuccessful in securing an interview. But we do appreciate Dylan Firth being with us of the Brewers Association. Dylan, welcome back. You support the Glass Packaging Forum's alternative scheme. Is that essentially just the status quo, which is a curbside collection, or is there a different scheme? Could you explain, Dylan?
Yeah, thanks, Catherine. It is quite a different scheme, and I think we should probably step back and look at the process that we've come to here, and the comment about the 11th hour coming in with this. I mean, we've been talking about improving the scheme and actually making it mandatory. So there's been a scheme in place where producers provide a levy on their materials, which pays towards a fund that goes towards developing improved curbside recycling in New Zealand. Now, what our proposal was is to actually ramp that up to a mandatory scheme. So we're actually asking to be regulated here. We're asking for an increased levy for those producers that would then go in to look at standardising curbside recycling around New Zealand. One of the biggest issues we see around New Zealand is that the collections are often co-mingled. We look at Auckland, where we've got one of our large populations, and we see huge amounts of co-mingled recycling, which degrades the value and the quality of it. Another thing about this proposal is that it's looking at all material. So here we've got a CRS that just looks at beverages. You know, there's a lot more out there. There's jam jars, there's shampoo bottles, there's other things in the waste stream. And what happens effectively is when you implement a CRS, you see two systems running and coexisting. You see a huge, expensive new system coming in that implements bottle return deposit places everywhere, as well as still having your existing curbside, which is going to be still paid for by the ratepayers. And effectively, a lot of that glass is going to be taken out of that system. So therefore, the value of the curbside is less for the council. So it could cost more for ratepayers in that aspect.
Okay, just to be clear, you can't do, or you don't propose doing, things like peanut butter jars and sauce jars in the bottle collection. Is that because they're muckier, they've got different substances in them, harder to clean?
No, I'm actually saying we propose to do all of those.
No. I should redirect that back to Marty. Is that why we don't have all glass in the current proposal?
Sorry, Catherine, do you want to ask that question again?
It's only beverage bottles that are part of the existing proposal, right? The container return scheme. Is that because things like peanut butter jars and sauce jars are too grubby? Get too much stuff stuck in them. Why isn't it all glass?
No, it's not, Catherine, because there's one reason and one reason only. We drink 2.23 billion beverage containers a year. Half of them are drank outside the home. We don't walk around with jars of peanut butter and shampoo bottles down the street drinking them. So 1 billion are left in the environment, stuffed in council rubbish bins, or end up as
all
litter
right.
or in the ocean. That's the reason.
Dylan, let's come back. Some would say you're kind of getting a free ride with the curbside collection. The ratepayers are paying for it, and what I'm trying to understand is why you are saying let's actually make mandatory the producers or the packagers having to pay. You're agreeing that they should have to pay, and yet you're not wanting to join in this proposal that's got this far.
Yeah, absolutely, Catherine.
I'm curious as to where you're coming from on that. What's the downside of that for you?
Yeah, look, it's about efficiencies. I mean, I disagree with Marty on just being walking around and not having those containers. It's about a whole of material system. If we want to develop something that's good for New Zealand for the future, we need to look at all materials. And it's not just beaver containers. There's a lot of stuff out there. So we need to look at a wider view of this. And it's not just glass here. You know, what we're proposing could actually work for other materials. We've just had the time and the ability to develop this for now. You know, we're asking the government to consider it, to compare and contrast it. And unfortunately, during the design process of the container return scheme, there was no real comparison of alternative schemes. I was involved with it. So what we're saying is that the cost of doing this system would be less because it doesn't involve a deposit. The handling fee that Marty talked about before is something that's often hidden and not known to consumers in a container return scheme. What happens is that, yes, they pay a deposit, but there's also a cost put on the producer, which, let's be fair, costs will get somewhere in the system. They might not be fully passed on, but the consumer will
end up paying. What's the difference in cost for you? For you and the people you represent, between one and the other?
At the end of the day, it's going to be slightly less. We think it'll be about half if we put it in place, and that includes the deposit. It's unredeemed deposits as well. So consumers, not 100% of them are going to do this. Internationally, we see 60 to 80%, depending on where you are. So you get a lot of money left in the system. That goes into the management agency that looks after all these things. So there's a lot of money left around. We reckon it could cost up to $600 million to implement a CRS. We think what we're putting forward would be about half. But, you know, you don't know exactly.
Yeah, but also how complex is what you're putting forward? How many bins are going to have to be outside the house now?
Well, if you look at most places, I know where I live, we've got multiple bins. I've got glass. I've got different days of the week.
Bins will we have to have now?
So it's sorted at curbside. So at the moment, you've got one. You can have one glass bin, and it'll be sorted at curbside. But what happens is the money from this levy goes towards funding this, and so the councils and ratepayers aren't going to be doing that as much. So we're actually going to see a reduced cost.
But hasn't that been the case for ages that this levy has been trying to encourage the growth of the scheme?
Yeah,
and so what's going to be different about what you propose? That it's mandatory. What's mandatory?
Yep, so it's been mandatory to be part of the scheme.
So all you're doing is putting more money into the levy, but is that resulting in more recycling?
So we're going to see more people on board around the country. So we're going to see more communities being able to do it, and it's more of an easier thing to do. And what happens is the material that comes out of it at the end of it is a better product and is actually able to be recycled.
We've
got to remember that a CRS is not a refillable scheme. It's capturing recycling, similar to a curbside. It's just a different measure of capture.
All right. We have to leave it there, gentlemen. Thank you both very much. Dylan Firth of the Brewers Association, Executive Director. Thanks also to Zero Waste Network spokesperson Marty Hoffitt.